and urgent care. Every week we talk with Dr. Brian Adler, or today, Dr. J. Vance Vandergriff. And we talk about various subjects. Today, we're going to be talking about heat exhaustion. Summer is here. It has settled in for good. Currently 85 here at our studios in Myrtle Beach, but the heat index level 96. So it's a serious topic and one that we're going to be talking about today. Good morning, Dr. Vandergriff.
Good morning.
Now, as summer sets in, we get a lot of warnings about a lot of things involving the heat. Most of them, of course, talking about heat exhaustion. When you hear these warnings to stay cool, stay in the air conditioning this afternoon and this kind of thing. But let's face it, we live in a coastal area, and folks like to come outside in the summertime. Not just for the beach and the pool, where there's a good, quick way to get out and cool down, but golf courses and gardening and that kind of thing. And I don't know much about heat exhaustion. We'll talk about the causes in just a moment, but I imagine this is one of those things that can really sneak up on people.
Absolutely. I mean, even if you're just sitting on the beach, I mean, you're thinking, oh, you've got the water there, but...
And the breeze,
but heat exhaustion is a serious problem, and it's a medical emergency. And we can touch briefly on heat stroke, and that's when it goes beyond the exhaustion point. But, you know, it's going to be 101-something today with a heat index. Tomorrow, 102 or 3, 104, I think the radio said, by Friday. So it's a serious issue to be talking about right now. We've got, obviously, lots of vacationers coming down, and they're going to be shopping. They're going to be playing golf, like you said. And you know, you need to be aware of the heat and take precautions to prevent this heat exhaustion from happening.
This is something that I know that can happen to anybody. I've read about NFL athletes, you know, actually having heat stroke in practice preparing in the summertime. But I'm assuming that this is probably something that is probably going to affect elderly folks and infants more often than folks who are in their middle ages?
That's exactly right, because the infants and the elderly are not as equipped to regulate the temperatures internally, and so they're going to be more apt to get this. But also the elderly are more likely to take medications that may increase the risk of heat exhaustion, and that could be diuretics for blood pressure or fluid retention, some of the heart drugs like the beta blockers. Now, alcohol is a big thing, and so, again, we've got people coming into town, they're partying on the beach or they're drinking while they're playing golf, and so alcohol is another big factor, because alcohol is going to dehydrate you.
I think I'd heard about the dehydration with alcohol. I had not heard that some prescription medicines can have an effect on this, and there's a lot of people. Did you say blood pressure medicine?
Yeah, beta
blockers.
There's
a ton of people on that.
Yeah, the beta blockers is a common heart drug, so patients that have had heart problems where they need their heart rate slowed down, so it's a blood pressure medicine and a heart protection drug, and so it's a fairly common medication, and even antihistamines, because people that have allergies, antihistamines can have a very drying effect, and that can lead to some dehydration, too.
I've never thought about that either. It makes perfect sense. All right, so I'm on the beach. I'm on the golf course. What are some of the symptoms, some of the first signs that I may be getting too hot?
Well, you're going to have headache. You're going to have muscle aches, weakness, nausea. You're going to get irritable, extreme thirst, excessive sweating. And with all of those things, you're going to notice that you're not urinating as often because you're, again, getting dehydrated.
I think the first problem point would be somebody says, hey, I'm getting a little too hot. Let me go sit in the shade for a minute. And they may sit there and cool down for 4 or 5 minutes. Then they get right back out in it. If they get back out there and the symptoms start increasing, what do they need to do?
Well, they really just need to stop and get out of the heat, go into a cool place. If you have, we talk to people about protecting their skin and wearing long sleeves when they're working out in the yard or to protect against poison ivy and stuff like that. Well, you need to go inside, take those layers of clothing off. Hats actually increase the risk of getting heat exhaustion because, again, in the wintertime, we talk about a hat holds heat in and protects you from getting too cold. Well, the same thing happens in the summertime. So the hat's going to hold the heat in. So take your hat off. So again, we're balancing this, protecting your skin by wearing hats versus the overheating aspect of wearing hats. You can lay down, prop your feet up, start drinking water, or an electrolyte replacement drink, and just anything that will cool the patient off, aside from putting somebody into a cold water bath. I mean, that's not necessary. That's actually maybe dangerous to do that. But just even a 5 or 10 degree decrease may be enough to help regulate that temperature again.
All right, so you say cold water bath, but let's say I jump in the pool. It's an outdoor pool. The water temperature is probably around 80 degrees. That's okay?
Oh, absolutely. So we're talking about an ice bath. We see these parents that will bring their kids in when they have high fevers. Oh, I gave them a cold bath. No, we don't want a cold bath. Maybe a lukewarm bath would be okay. Because anything that's going to be lower temperature than what they're exposed to is going to help bring that internal temperature down.
You know, that makes sense. I often worry so much in the summertime about folks like roofers in particular who have to do this on a daily basis. Is it possible, and I wonder how come you don't hear more about those guys being taken to the hospital, is there some kind of way that the folks who are out there daily in this build up some kind of tolerance level?
Well, I think most of the people that are working outside understand that they need to keep their jug of water or bottled water with them, and most of those patients are going to be hydrating because they realize the type of work they do. But it is a risk because, you know, somebody that's not used to being working out in the heat, they suddenly start working out in the heat, that's a risk factor for them.
And I know this is probably a different topic, but since you did mention it, what are the signs of heat stroke? If somebody is dealing with heat exhaustion and they think they've got it, but what is the next step that folks say, hey, now at this point I'm seeing this symptom, I need to go get medical help?
Well, when we talk about the heat exhaustion, you can have the headaches and the dizziness and the weakness. Heat stroke is where it goes beyond that, and it actually looks like they've had a stroke. They may be excessive sleep where they're groggy and they can't wake up, or they can even have seizures. They can be unconscious. So that's a heat stroke. It would be similar to what you may see somebody who have had a hemorrhagic stroke or a brain stroke. They get neurologic symptoms. So heat exhaustion plus neurologic symptoms would be like a heat stroke.
If it is a heat stroke and you've got an ambulance on the way or you've got them in the car on the way to the hospital, what's the best thing you can do to, you know, preliminary care before the real health experts get there?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, try to decrease that exposure to the external temperatures. And so get into a cool place, take off layers of clothes, a cold rag or anything that can help to bring down the body temperature.
Well, it's important information for anybody in this area to know. And as the doctor pointed out, we've got a ton of people coming in this area all the time who probably don't think, these tourists and visitors probably don't think as much about being out in the summer heat as we do, the folks who live here. So keep that in mind. And remember, you can always talk to your healthcare provider if you think it's getting to a point where you don't want to handle it by yourself. If you don't have a healthcare provider, you can always visit Strand Urgent Care in Carolina Forest and Myrtle Beach. They're located on International Drive near the Intercoastal Waterway. Their phone number, 843-945-3030. They are urgent care and open 7 days a week, 945-3030.